This episode of ENCast is also available in video format on the EN campus. For more information, please check the episode description.
Welcome to ENCast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to EANcast Weekly Neurology. My name is Barbara Tettenborn. I'm the editor-in-chief of the e-learning of the EAN. And today's episode is about the effects of excessive smartphone and social media use on memory, attention, and brain. And my guest today is Professor Aviv Weinstein. He is professor of psychology and the Isador and Ruth Kastin Chair for Brain Research at the Ariel University in Israel. He's an expert on our today's topic and has published a lot in the sequel of excessive social media use on the human brain. So welcome, Professor Weinstein, and thank you very much for taking the time and joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So just as an introduction, the first question, what does excessive use of social media really mean? Is it 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day? Is it 8 hours a day? What's your opinion?
Well, generally, this is a kind of what we call internet addiction. Internet addiction is characterized by either excessive social media use or playing games on the internet or texting or messaging. The evidence is that the time that people spend on the internet does not relate directly to the damage it causes. It depends on other parameters. This is not the only parameter existing. We look at usually at the damage that is causing, whether it is psychological damage or cognitive damage, in order to say that this excessive use is harmful for people.
Is it in any way age dependent?
Yes, we see lots of problems with adolescents in particularly, where we see that at this age there may be some sleep problems, some cognitive problems, emotional problems. People mention the term, for example, FOMO, or fear of missing out. If you are not connected and you are not online, you don't know what is going on, so you feel depressed or anxious. So adolescence is a very critical age, but we also know that already in young age, people are using smartphones for particular reasons, and that may affect their brain development. So already at young age, we see the effects, particularly of the use of tablets and smartphones.
There are intentions, I have heard, especially also from governmental side, to reduce the usage of social media and cell phones in the very young ones. How do you think about that? Should that be promoted, or do we better teach our young ones better how to use and how to handle social media?
Yes, I think that it's a positive move, because we have more and more evidence that with children there is an effect of using smartphones. There was a workshop called Children and Screens in the United States that I participated in. There are about 15 experts in the topic. And we find that children who are using tablets at a young age, that affects their linguistic processing ability, the white matter in the brain. That means that it's better for children to read fairy tales, maybe the Grimm Brothers, rather than to catch and look at a tablet all the time. So parents should pay attention to that. I know it's more convenient to give children tablets so they'll be quiet, but there is some damage here. And also, we know that spending many hours on using smartphones and the internet changes like the gray matter in the brain. The brain is maturing quicker. And this is another study by Paulos in the United States. So it is a good idea to limit the time of use, and especially at night, because if children use the smartphone at night, it changes their sleeping habits. And we know that this is bad. And sometimes children find it difficult to wake up to school, especially when they're using it late at night. So making sure that they don't use it at night, limiting their hours, and encouraging also to do some other activities like sports and recreational activities, replacement to that, because we probably we have a generation now that is more technologically advanced, but doesn't know so much how to enjoy the simple leisures of life.
Can you somehow eagle-ize it? Like if you did 2 hour on social media and then you do 2 hour of sports, does it help to reduce the damage in the brain?
Yes, I think that if you balance your activities and you make sure that they do sports and recreational activity, then it's better. Mm-hmm. I think that the time of 3 hours a day is the time that many use as a limit for use. And it's actually not bad to limit children to several hours a day, no more. Because from my experience, especially the clinical experience, is with adolescents and young people who don't have time limits and they can spend hours and hours during the day and at night playing games, using social media. And this is definitely not good for them.
Mm-hmm. I've read lately that using too many hours or being too many hours on the social media channels can also reduce your performance in professional sports people. Do you know anything about this effect on the performance in professional sport or in can also be leisurely sport, but with very good amateur athletes?
Yes, I know that there is some evidence that it can affect sportive activity. I'm more focused on the cognitive effects and especially attention, because we see that people who use the internet a lot, especially for social purposes or gaming, we know that it affects their brain and brain development. So it should affect other activities as well.
And reduced attention probably reduces your performance in very high level sport activities as well, I would imagine,
Yes, another issue is the distraction, because when people are using smartphones, they get stimulated from many sources. And they have a lot of distraction. And this is another issue that we encourage people to be multitaskers, you know, people who do lots of things at the same time. Mm-hmm. But what we find out is that the more tasks you do, the worse your performance is. So, for example, when you take multitaskers and compare them to those who do not multitasking, we find that after that, when you run tasks of working memory, they are impaired on all the possible tasks that we use, continuous performance tasks, the NBAC task and others. And also, the more the distraction there is, the worse their performance is. So there is something about holding the smartphone or the computer and getting stimulated from many sources that actually impairs your concentration. So I'm not surprised that it may affect also sports activity or performance in this population. Yeah.
How do you actually measure the damage?
Well, the simplest way is to run computerized cognitive tasks that measure attention. Mm-hmm. These are well-established paradigms also in neurocognitive research. They look at issues like response inhibition. Are you able to inhibit some responses like the go-no-go task? Mm-hmm. You look at working memory like the Wisconsin card sorting task when you have to show some flexibility. Mm-hmm. We look at CPT, continuous performance task, which is also used to diagnose ADHD. Mm-hmm. And so you have to pay attention. And a Stroop task, or lots of attentional paradigms. I have to say in that respect that if adolescents and children have got ADHD, it is even worse because they need more stimulation, and media and smartphones provide that stimulation, escape from boredom. So this is a particularly vulnerable group, and I see in the clinic adolescents with ADHD and excessive smartphone use, excessive gaming, that is also on the expense of, let's say, sports and other healthy or eating healthily.
Yeah. So eating is another point. Yeah. Usually the people probably who spend a lot of time on social media might not have the best eating habits either. Is it?
Yeah. It's well known that obesity may be related to that. If you spend hours on your computer and social media, people tend also not to eat healthy. Mm-hmm. And actually, if I take it to another world, which is the gaming world, mm-hmm. people were matching different alcoholic drinks to different games. So you've got, you know, vodka in a particular game and beer with another. So it has become a culture of a way of life, mm-hmm. which is not really good for you. Not to mention if you play video games for hours and hours, that is definitely not good for your brain. Yeah.
Are there also morphological changes you can see on MRI?
Yeah. Some of these studies show that excessive use of smartphones and the computers show reduced gray matter in the brain, particularly in areas that are a part of the dopamine reward system. So in that way, we find that this is similar to gaming. So the brain, in a way, is maturing more quickly when you use when you play or you use the smartphone excessively. We also find changes in white matter, but this is not a strong finding, but mainly gray matter volume. And we find that some brain areas that are associated with emotion, like the amygdala, body awareness, like the insula, areas in the prefrontal cortex that are related to cognitive control are changing as a result. And this is very similar to what you find with drug addiction and other behavioral addictions like gambling. That's quite interesting. The similarity is striking.
So what do you suggest to get especially the children off all these hours of gaming, social media use?
Yes, I think that there should be more kind of a comprehensive approach to change that. It's difficult to ban it altogether. It's almost like food addiction. You can't stop eating, but you need to create a healthy lifestyle, both in terms of sleep, exercise, activity, and a good diet. And if you have a balanced lifestyle, you can accommodate using smartphones and other activities, but it does not become the center of your life. And this is one of the main issues, which is actually the characteristic of addiction. If you are addicted, this is the most important thing that you have in your life, and it shouldn't be. And especially, you see families go to dinner and you've got six people looking at their smartphone. So if we change our behavior, maybe young people will change that as well. And we need to maybe re-educate people to the world we had before smartphones. I think in that respect, it was healthier. And also to dedicate some activities that you don't use the smartphone at all. If you do sports, keep your smartphone somewhere. If you go to the beach, enjoy the water and the sunshine. I don't know if in Finland it's so common, but enjoy these things rather than look at your smartphone all the time. And this needs attention. It needs supervision as well.
So it goes very much into the direction of the brain health altogether.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And are there any positive effects? I think of, for example, very old people who might be socially isolated. Is there any positive effects of social media on this group of people, for example?
Actually, yes. And not only social media, playing games. I mean, I wrote a review some time ago about the effects of video games, and they pointed out to some studies showing that older people who play games, that enhances their brain neurotransmission, especially of glutamate in the hippocampus. So gaming and using social media can be useful. And one of the characteristics of that is that it can improve your social network ability. Another thing is that it can help people to be less shy and practice using social network to overcome their shyness or social anxiety. Even cases of dating, that people are shy about dating, they can perhaps practice beforehand, getting to know other people, communicate with people. And of course, there is the educational aspect, that by using the internet, we can find out about information that we couldn't before. So these are positive aspects, and they should be encouraged.
So, for example, using the smartphone for educational reasons, like using the e-learning platform of the EAN, would not count as social media excessive abuse.
No, not at all. We know we need the smartphones to communicate. If you use it for example, for mail and email and messaging, this is not the harmful effect. We need it in modern life.
Yeah. So. We all need it by now, but we have to be careful about the usage.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be excessive like in any other thing in the world and in our lives. We should be modest and moderate about it.
Yes.
And then there can be a few positive effects. You mentioned them. And in general, what is your recommendation for parents? Should they take the cell phone away from the children for some hours, or should they explain it better to the children how to use it? What would you recommend?
Well, my experience is that when you take away smartphones or computers from children, this is not a good strategy. And in the clinical cases that I've seen, it could even lead to violence and depression and anxiety. I know some cases that children were really aggressive against their parents because they perceive that as an aggressive act when you take the smartphone. I think that you should change the approach and explain why it is better to handle it more carefully and giving an example how you could lead a healthy life and still use the smartphone. Because then you don't want your children to be against you. You want to work with them. And in that way, it is similar also to drug addiction or to using cannabis, for example, or alcohol. You don't want your child to be an enemy. You want you to be your friend, and you encourage that the approach should be positive.
Thank you very much, Professor Weissan. That was a very interesting task to talk to you.
Right.
I enjoyed it a lot. I learned a lot. And thanks again.
Thank you.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EAN Cast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.